So this gentleman I asked to speak today, he was like one of the first people I asked, and he was one of the last ones to confirm. I asked him, and I should have just texted him, but I sent a message on Facebook because, you know, I was asking 25-some speakers, and I wanted to keep everything in the same place. And don't touch it. 2 weeks later, he's like, yeah, man, we'll be there. I can do it. And I'm like, so everything's full. He's like, oh, okay, well, we'll be there anyway. And I was like, oh, your wife's speaking. We had a cancellation. We had a few cancellations. So I messaged him again. We filled those spots again. Yeah. He messaged me back again, a little sooner this time. And then one of his sponsees canceled, and I said, hey, are you going to see your sponsor soon? He's like, yeah, I'm going to see him in like 10 minutes. And I said, tell him to check his Facebook messages. And then Devin confirmed, and I said, tell him to check his Facebook messages. Anyway, it worked out, and I actually met this individual here, I think 8 years ago now. I was like just ready, getting ready, or just had celebrated a year. I think maybe I had 18 months. So he's been a consistent face I saw here over the past 8 years, and we've gotten to know each other pretty well. And I cherish his viewpoint. I got to spend time with him at other events. This is my thing. I like retreats, and I love the relationships formed here. So I won't take up any more time. I'll give you Todd M. from Miracle in the Mountains Group of NA, Pocono Mountains. Here.
All right.
You go too long, I'll tell you.
All right. I'm an ag. My name's Todd. I'd like to thank. I'm apprehensive about doing this. You know what I mean? You know, I wonder. You know, all weekend I was wondering, how did I get here? How did this happen? Right? And I'd like to say that I got a home group. It's Miracles in the Mountains. We meet Friday night at 7:30 to 9 o'clock at 7th and Sarah Street in Stroudsburg. It's been my home group since I've been clean. It's my home group before I got clean. And, you know, I'm gonna tell my story, right? I have a lot of respect for people who can organize their thoughts in such a manner and articulate a message that informs people. I have a lot of respect for that, and I enjoy that very much. I happen just not to be one of those people. And I've come to accept that. You know what I mean? I do what I do, and I try to... I care. I'm passionate about Narcotics Anonymous. And I love addicts. And I hope that, you know, I can convey that. So, you know, I thought when I appreciate the committee, I appreciate the Laurel Mountain Highlands considering me, and it's a lot of pressure off me. I knew I wasn't the first choice. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I was like, phew. So if you could join me in lowering your expectations, take a moment. Right? We're going to get through this. Right? But you know, my story and this retreat are so intertwined. It's uncanny to me, right? Like, I had a hard time getting clean. Like, I was one of those people that you know, I didn't think certain things applied to me. I didn't understand what that had to do with my problem. Like, those suggestions that everybody was telling me, I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know how that applied to my problem, right? So I took those suggestions that I wanted to take, and that's all I did know. I knew every time I picked up, no matter what it was, no matter where it was, who it was with, when I did it, how I did it, it always ended up the same way. But I just had to keep trying. I had to keep trying, right? Until the last time I used, it wasn't any different than any other time I used. You know, it was a 7-day run. Eating and taking in fluids were never part of my plan when I was using. It was an admission of defeat. Sleep was a surrender that I didn't know anything about. Right? I just had a hammer. I had a go. Right? And it was like that since I, you know, can I, you know, I could remember. I got put in treatment, right? And they had seen me before, and I eventually, the funny part is, like, I was done. I remember that I woke up on a Monday. I got kicked out of the spot. I was walking down. I had a quarter. I had like 35 cents on me. And I had nobody to call. Right? There was nobody. You know, all those plans, I always would come up with one more thing. Right? Always another move to make. And no matter if I did it before and it didn't work, it didn't matter. I would always, you know, come up with something. I always had something, right? I couldn't go to bed that night without that plan for the next day. Like if I, you know, I wouldn't be able to freaking stop my head until I had that half-baked idea, right? And like that day I woke up, and there was nothing. I got asked to leave, you know, and that's happened many times before. I never took offense to that. And, I was walking down to Crystal Street. I was, at that time, I was, you know, I was homeless. I was homeless by choice. I was, I wrecked my truck, blew up my truck, hitting a deer copping. Right, I was at the end of, like, my thought was, I just can't do this anymore, and I just kept trying to think, trying to come up with something, and I couldn't. And by the time I got to the phone booth, I dropped a quarter. The person I called didn't answer. Right, and I just. You know, I'm 30. I was in my 30s. It was 1997. My clean date is November 24th, 1997. And I called my mother. You know what I mean? I had to call my mother. And I'm a prideful, arrogant, you know, self-centered, bigoted prick. Right? And you know, that was the low. I never felt that in my entire life, right? And still, they picked me up. I made the phone call. They picked me up. I just remember peeling my socks off and how bloody my socks were from not taking my shoes off for that week. And crack, you know, they were cracked and split, my feet. And just like ripping my socks off my toes. Because of the blood between them, right? And I stood my jeans up in the corner, right? Took a shower. And she had a guy with her. It was her, it was our pastor. You know, it was a pastor. And he was a big dude. And he threw me in that car and he stayed there. And he made sure that I was in the car when they took me to treatment, right? And through all that, right, I sit down. By the time I got from my parents' house to the facility, I had in my mind, Lance, I was just going to do a 5-day detox, right? I'm just going to do, let me do this 5-day detox like everybody was doing. I'm going to surrender, because I had been going to meetings. I had been going to meetings. And let me do this 5-day detox. And I got in there at the registrations. I remember the lady from the other time I was there. I remember her vividly because she was a hard case, right? Let's call it that. And she was a hard case, right? And she was taking my information. I told her my plan, you know what I mean? And she was on the phone, and she said, they're not going to take you for 5 days. I said, I have no insurance. I have no way to pay. I have no intention of paying. I want to do a 5-day detox. I'll surrender to my home group in Narcotics Anonymous and my sponsor. That's my plan. I'm just going to surrender to my sponsor and Narcotics Anonymous. And she gets back on the phone. And this went back and forth, right? Until I said, give me the goddamn phone. Right? Give me the phone. Let me talk to this person. Right? And she said, no. You're sick and you need long-term treatment. And they're not going to accept you for 5 days. You have to do the whole program. And I looked at her and I was, every fiber of my body was vibrating. Right? Every fiber, right? And I looked at her, and she's backing up. She's on one of them rolling chairs, backing up, right? And I'm not stopping. I'm out of my ever-loving mind, right? And then it came, it was like a shroud came over me, over my whole body. This is what they're talking about. This is what they're talking about. Right? And I pounded on the freaking desk, right? I pounded. I said, this is what they're talking about. Right? And she's way back now. And I looked at her, and she was scared. Right? And I looked at her, and I was like, and I, all of a sudden, the calm came over me. I went like this. I said, you can, whatever you guys want to do, I said, I don't give a fuck. You know? I don't care. Whatever you guys want to do. Right? And that was the first time. I tell that story because this was the first time that that ever happened. That ever happened. Right? And, like, that was the start. You know, that was my start. Although, I had been to that facility before. She said she did the paperwork, right? I'm like, okay, I'm gonna surround, I'm gonna be here. That's it. You know, I had a good run. I'm thinking, you know, I had, you know, time to. And so I'm sitting out there. I sit down outside the office, and I'm right by a staircase. And just like that, I spring up. I run up that staircase. I walk right into the faculty lounge. I grabbed the coffee. Nobody's in there. I didn't know that. Nobody was in there. I took all the coffee I possibly could. I shoved it in every pocket I had. I walked out, closed the door, and went down. And like the rest of that day, I stashed coffee over that entire facility. Everywhere I could. Right? My surrender. That's my surrender. Right? I'll stay here, but I'm going to get some regular call. Okay? but I had like, I'm not sure. I'm not very good with dates. I wish I was better. I think it's that I just don't pay attention. And my 11th step is definitely going to help me with that. You know, a consistent 11th step. But I was 6 months clean. I was in Miracles, and we had a home group member there. His name, we called him Sleepy, because he was always sleeping. I don't know if he had narcolepsy. Is that what that sleeping disease is? He was sleeping all the time. I guess he worked nights at a hotel or a motel, and he just never slept. So he would just fall out every once in a while. And no matter where it was. And his name was Jason, right? So Jason, I had 6 months clean. I had gotten a truck from Big Jack, a guy in our area. He sold me a truck, right? And, you know, I had work. I was working as a breakfast cook and, you know, doing that deal. And I had a little money. I bought that truck. I paid him off on time. And Jason needed a ride. He told me this, like, it was like, I remember I was 6 months clean when I came here. So it might have been a couple of months before that. Excuse me. And Jason said, I need a ride out to IUP. Does anybody, it was at a business meeting. Can anybody give me a ride out to IUP? And at this time, I got 6 months. You know, I'm on this. I think I still kind of am on this. Like, hey, I'm in recovery. I can do this. You know what I mean? I can be of service here. You know what I mean? I'll give you a ride, dude. It'll be fun, right? We'll move you out there, right? And I was real happy about that. And as it approached, he said to me, he was talking about it, he said, hey, the area out there is having their first retreat at Camp Harmon. It's in the area. I got you a registration for taking me down as a nice little gesture, right? And I said, great, man. It'll be the weekend. You and I will be able to hang out. It'll be great, right? He goes, oh, no. Yeah, I got to be up at school. You're going by yourself. I thought, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? I was not, you know, that was not something that I would even want to do ever in my mind, right? Not ever, right? Would I ever want to do that, right? But I'm in recovery. Like, I kept on trying to convince myself, right? Hey, dude, you're doing stuff different. You know, you're doing stuff different now. You know, it's about, you know, change and all this shit. And so I said, I can do this, right? And we left. I think we went to the home group on Friday night because it was really, really, really friggin' late when we got here. And I took him up. He was in a dorm room. He only had like two garbage bags, right? So it was a real quick move. So, we took those things up. There was no cell service. I know there was no GPS back then. And to find this friggin' place was, you know, that was the real miracle, right? Because it was, you know, by myself, you know what I mean? It's dark as shit, you know, and I came down from IUP, and I don't even know what time it was. I pulled into this place, and you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark. I was like, there is nothing here, dude. There is nothing. And then all of a sudden, I see this car, right? And I was like, fine, because I hadn't seen a car in a long time, right? Where am I going? You know, and I just tried to not think about it. You know, I tried not to think about it. I just tried to be about it, right? Don't think about it, be about it, right? And I see this car, right? I was pulling in and over in here, and then it was John Kay, right? John Kay. Todd! Right? I said, yeah. He said, oh, we've been waiting for you, man. Good to see you. You know, those boys, the guys are up there. Just yell and go towards their voice. Right? And I got to go up here. I got to get cell phone reception. I got to go 18 miles or whatever, up on the hill, right? And I yelled and I got closer and it was Lance and Edgar, and, you know what I mean? And that weekend, like, taking a risk, right? Doing something that I didn't want to do, right? You know, that weekend, I think I met Walter that weekend, that very first weekend. I know I was here by myself and I hooked up with, you know, I'm sure it was, and like I say, you know, it's hard for me to remember, but Jeff Callis and I connected. I got his phone number. I got Walter's phone number. Coolest white guy I ever met in my life. And I did something different. Like, I was never one to, I was never taught the value of relationships. Like, my parents really never had any friends. Like, it was just us. They were married real early, like we grew up together almost, right? And it was only us in our little dysfunctional, crazy-ass house, right? And I never got the value in relationships, right? I never thought there was any value. People are a pain in the ass, right? That was my... You know what I mean? I remember I was maybe 8 years old. And there was a little fight between all the kids, the neighborhood kids, and this family, right? And the old man came up to me and was, you know what I mean? He came up at me hard, right? This guy's old man. And I was upset and came across. My mother said, "This is what you want to do, Todd, next time you see Mr. Case." She said, "You tell him people were right. People were right. And when he asks you, what do you mean? Just say people." She said, "You tell him people from the city are no goddamn good. You tell him that, right? That's where I come from. Right? That's misinformation, right? That's misinformation, right? But like coming up like that." Like I never really, like if you and I had an argument, there was never any thought in my mind to reconcile that rift. Like it was over. I mean, it was over. Like your essence can cease to exist now, right? That's the way I thought for a long time. So, you know, coming into Narcotics Anonymous and getting a home group. And I love my home group. You know what I mean? It's still a pretty lively place to have a business meeting. Like people sit in just to sit in sometimes. You know what I mean? Especially if there's something going on. You know? But we also are one of the strongest groups in the Poconos, right? And there's a reason for that, right? And I was taught that. And but anyway, you know, through the years, I want to tell the story of this retreat because it's so important to me. And like through the years, as I came the first time with, and I might get this wrong, but in my mind, I'm going to do the best I can, right? In my mind, the second year I came. Like the first year I was, you know, I tried to develop some relationships with some success. The second year was the same thing. I brought my sponsor, Ralph, because I wanted him to experience this, right? And during this whole time, I was in a relationship with, we were off and on. Devin and I were off and on, right? I was at Marlicka, minding my own business, Pat. Minding my own business with a couple months clean, right? And this girl wants to sit next to me to the banquet, right? At the banquet. And I'm like, I'm in with my buddy. I'm like, "Hey, man, you see this shit? Is it just me?" He's like, nah. I'd say, "You're jealous, motherfucker." She's talking to me. She's talking to me, right? And I need a ride back. And I need to ride back to that very Bronco that I bought from Jack. He still had it. I said, "Jack, I need to ride back." And he said, "Yeah, you can ride with me." And lo and behold, she's in the back seat. Jack's taking her back too. You know what I mean? So I was happy as shit. And that's where it kind of began, right? And we were off and on again. The story of our relationship, there's times that we weren't, that we had to do certain things that weren't done. And Devin's the smart one. Everybody knows that. But she is. And she knew that we couldn't, there was something there, right? But we couldn't, if we didn't do certain things, if we didn't take care of those things, that we would destroy that, you know, that seed, let's call it, right? That seed. She was smart enough to know that. And I just heard, "I love you and I want to marry you," every time she thought. No matter what she said, no matter how she said it, it was, "I love you, Todd. I cannot live without you." You know? It's true, right? And, but you know, through the years at this retreat, you know, and then other times we had broken up and it was over. And it wasn't, it's just kind of, grace that we got back together again, because it was, you know, it wasn't going to happen, and then it happened. Like God is good, right? But what Devin did for me, and for this, for my experience with this retreat, she, like, I invited my sponsor, right? But when Devin came, she wanted to invite everybody. And I'm like, you don't want to invite everybody. You know, it's just so nice. You know, we don't want to ruin it with all these people. Right? We don't fuck it up. Too many people. It's just, don't want to do that, right? And if, you know, of course, well, we see what, you know, it's just because of her, right? Because of that ingredient, you know, it blossomed. Our relationships out here in Western PA have blossomed. You know what I mean? And people from the Poconos have come here, and you know, different people. I don't even. It's like, oh yeah, they came too. Like, you know, everybody from my area knows about this. There was one year that Matt always reminds me that he's the only one that's ever been to every one of these retreats. But the one time I missed was when we have an area pig roast. It's a week in front of this. The chair didn't have their stuff together, right? Waited too long to book the place, and it had to bump a week. And I was torn. I was so mad. I got on that area floor, and they'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. I said, "I'll do it this time. But if it ever happens again, you guys are on your own. You can do, you know, I don't care what happens, right? But I'm going to go to this retreat. You know, this retreat is so important to me and to Devin. You know what I mean? It's a symbol of what happens when I take a risk. Like, this symbolized, this was the first time that, like, by taking a risk and putting a seed in the ground, right, that all these blessings came out of that one risk, right, that I didn't even want to do. Like, I am not that guy, right? But then, because that happened, I was able to take a risk over here. I was able to see the possible benefit if, you know, because of this happening, it opened up, it was a miracle, a change in perspective. I had a profound change in my perspective, and it changed the course of my entire life. Now, not to say, Like last week, I had a little encounter at an ice cream stand. And I mind my own business, right? I get off a little early, right? I go down to Gables. I've been going to Gables all my life. I get a small twist. I jump in my truck. The air conditioning's on. I start eating my twist. And across the street, there's a kind of a new Dunkin' Donuts. It's been there for about probably 10 years or so. And there's a guy outside his car. And he's parked by his trunk right next to the road where all the... they got nice landscaping. They got mulch and stuff. And I see this guy... He's eating something and he takes his shit and he throws it down on the ground. And I say, okay, Todd. Yeah, I looked at my ice cream cone and I said, not yet. You know, I had a lot of it left. And I'm looking, I'm eating my ice cream. And I'm looking around. Perhaps, let's give the dude the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there's no trash cans in the entire parking lot. Right? You know, so I'm looking, I'm like, yeah, looking. Then he goes back in the car, and I'm really having at this ice cream now. And he goes and he gets something else. And he comes to the back of the car, and he did the same thing. And he had a dumpster right behind him. And I could have... You know what I mean? But see, the setup for me would have been to be nice. Because if I was nice to this guy and asked him to pick it up and he said something to me, I would have got out of my truck and I would have got my hammer and I'd beat the piss out of this guy. No doubt. So I came at him hard. I said, hey, you Jersey piece of shit. Pick that fucking shit up. Right? He looks at me. He goes, fuck you. Right? I said, fuck me. I said, I lived here all my fucking life, man. I said, guess what? I'm going to go over. There's the police station I'm familiar with. Right behind Gates. I said, I tell you what, I'm not even get out of my truck. I said, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to get the cops and they'll take care of your Jersey ass, you piece of shit. You know what I mean? He said, we were going back and forth really good. And I said, I tell you what, wait right here. Wait right here. And I go, I got out of my truck. And then here comes Scott Krez. He's a kid I grew up with. He's a cop. I said, Scott, this piece of shit. Bop, 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 bop. I said, go fucking do what you cops are supposed to do. Right? This guy was so mad. He stayed. Right? He passes. The cop is like a lane to get to the police station. He passes because I was like, I think that's him right now. So I look at him like this. I said, come on over here. See if it was him, right? And it was him. Scott Krezy. He's going over there. He passes him and comes up to my truck. And I said, you picked that up? He said, yeah, I picked it up. I said, thank you very much. I said, you got a lot of goddamn nerve coming into my town and throwing your shit around. I said, people come up here. You see all these freaking cars? I said, they're coming up here because of the beauty of the place. And guys like you, with disregard, fuck it all up for everybody else. Right? He says, he wants me to get out of the truck. And he was so oblivious that Scott had turned around. And he's behind them. And I said, you got a gripe? He said, yeah. I said, well, tell your, I forget what I said. I said, tell it to this guy. And I go like this. And Scott puts on his freaking lights. The guy comes back to reality, looks in his rearview mirror, and is freaking just sunk. Right? Now, I think that was a good outcome. Like, how could that not be a good outcome? Right? See, that's where I need that's where I need a sponsor, a support group, right? That maybe next time. But I know in my heart of hearts, if I could, I had a choice to be nice to the guy. But in my mind, like, that was a setup on my part. Like, that was a setup, right? And these are things, this is why I keep coming back to Narcotics Anonymous. Because there was, you know, that was a very mild encounter in my mind. It was very mild. You know what I mean? And there was a time that it could have got 100 times worse and I still would have been all right with it. You know what I mean? And even if I get my ass kicked, I was standing up for something that was at the right side, right? You know what I mean? In my mind, right? Well, at least I got a couple shots. And but these are things that, like, area service, being a part of the subcommittee, that have honed my approach in many other ways. In many other instances, it doesn't get like that, right? You know, I have a daughter. I have a I'm in a relationship, and Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to try to see things from other people's perspective, right? How I used to, when somebody would ask me a question, I was a little rough, in my response every time, right? And there came a time in my recovery that I thought, you know, how arrogant is that? Like, I would say, if you don't want to hear the answer, don't ask me the goddamn question, right? If you don't want to hear it, don't ask it. Right? I said that 100 times. And but there came a time that I thought, how isn't it my responsibility, isn't it service to be able to, for me to convey to you in a way that you're going to understand it, my answer, right? Without all that bullshit, right? And that's what I'm trying to work on, right? I have an 11th step in my life, and I wasn't able to achieve that 11th step until I got a solid 10th step in my life. I was never able to get traction, right, with meditation and prayer. Like, I would pray, God help me. That was my mantra for 20 years. God fucking help me. God help me. God help me. Right? But the consistency of a 10th step in my life led to the ability to have an 11th step in my life, right? I started to pray heartfelt prayer for people who were struggling. You know, I start off my prayer with gratitude, because who wants to have that phone call from a guy? This is how I think of it. Who was always wanting to borrow something. They never call you and ask, you know, but it's always something. They got to borrow a tool. The only time this guy calls me is when he needs to borrow a tool, right? I didn't want to be that guy, right? So in a relationship with the God of my understanding, I wanted to express gratitude, thankfulness, humility, and then pray for those people in my life that are struggling, right? And then I pray for the ability to not cause harm, right? To be able to make good decisions. When I say good decisions in my world take into account how those decisions are going to affect everybody in my life. That was not, you know, there was a large portion of my life that didn't, that was not a part of my thought process, right? So I pray to be able to do that, you know. you know, a Sunday morning speaker, I always liked them. I hope I didn't go long, you know what I mean? Because I didn't want to. I want to just thank this retreat again, right? And like what I always try to take something out of this retreat, you know what I mean? It's always a reset in my life that it comes right on time. It always comes right on time for us, doesn't it, Walter? Right? And like a way forward, you know, it's just a reset of my life and clarity on a way forward. It reaffirms what I'm doing with my life, my conviction, my excitement, you know, for recovery, for Narcotics Anonymous, where Narcotics Anonymous is at. You know, it just rejuvenates my soul. And I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. Thanks for allowing me to share.